What's up, everybody? Great to have you back with us with a brand new episode. And once again, some club football is back. Juicy football. So without further ado, let's get into the latest episode of Falconer Podcast. So Josh, how are you feeling about proper football being back?
It's good to see. We have some big games in Germany and Spain, although in the Premier League, in England, no Premier League action this weekend. We have the FA Cup and basically big boys going to bully lower league opposition. I'm not too keen on that, if I'm being honest. My eyes will be on the Barcelona Atletico game and the Milan derby.
I see what you say. Like, it's still hard for me to even comprehend that there's no Premier League game this week. Like, maybe just the relegation battle, but like
my apologies to Burnley and Watford fans. You guys are still important.
Yeah, but let's be real. How many are there in the world?
I'm not there. They have fans.
Of course. Now you're not. You don't want to say this in air, but you say it off air. Of course. That's who you are. Coward. No problem. I hear you. So where are we starting from today?
Since I already referenced it, I'm really eager with the game. And of course, you being a Barcelona fan, I'm sure you're eager for the action. Or are you scared of Atletico? Because I'm eager to watch the game. How are you feeling?
So we're diving right into the big one, yeah? Barca, Real Madrid, Atletico, Real Madrid. I think this game will be interesting. Like, I would say, like 3 weeks ago, I won't be as confident as I am, because when you look at it, Fati getting injured, Memphis Depay getting injured, like Barcelona looked very, very weak attacking wise. But going into this game, I'm filled with confidence. I feel like Aubameyang will start. Ferran Torres.
So what's making you confident?
I'm confident,
out of form, and.
Yeah. No, but I feel like no matter how bad his form is, yeah, we've seen Atleti, we've covered Atleti so much this season. We've seen them struggle defensively, and they are so bad defensively that I feel like even with a very, very poor attack, Barca will still have a lot of joy. And looking at the reinforcement they've made in the attack with Ferran Torres and Aubameyang playing, and maybe Dembele might even chip in, because we're hearing that Xavi wants to bring him into the fold. And if Dembele were to play, Dembele too might have some joy in this Atleti defense.
Actually, you made some fair points. The new signings, Aubameyang will have a point to prove. So I was actually just joking when I said, is Aubameyang the one giving confidence? Because if I were a Barcelona fan, Aubameyang would give me hope. I won't say as far as confidence, but it would give me hope. I think I'm not too keen on Adama. He might prove me wrong. I don't know. But I'm very, very, very happy, even as a neutral, to watch Aubameyang and Ferran Torres play. Ferran Torres, youngster that was hitting form and got injured at the wrong time. Unfortunately, Aubameyang closer to the end of his career than the beginning, but still. But what is interesting for me is Atletico Madrid, they are no more defensively sound, but still Simeone refuses to stop defensive football. So I don't know. This game just looks like it's just going to be Barcelona keeping the ball, Atletico shutting off shop. I said I was eager for the game, but now that I think of it, will it even be like I don't think it'll be a spectacle.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Like, Simeone, we've covered this thing already so much this season that we've been saying, what is Simeone trying to do here? You don't have the proper defenders to actually play the kind of system you want. Why not play a different system? We've touched on this very much this season.
But still on Atletico. Okay.
But personally, the way I see it is, like, Simeone always struggle at the Camp Nou. We all know this. His record at the Camp Nou is very, very bad after being an Atleti for like 10 years now. So I feel like this game, mostly down to Messi. This game is how do they say it again? You can say down to Messi and down to the brilliance of others, but like I'm just saying, like even as it is now, to me, coming into this game, I feel like Barcelona are favorites because they are playing at the Camp Nou and they have a better they are coming into it this in a better atmosphere than what they had. Like Athletic, they are the ones coming into this in a like a different atmosphere. Yes, they won. They came back from behind to win against Valencia 2 weeks ago. But like still,
I think international break came at the wrong time for them. They would have been nice to play the following week after such a comeback.
Are you sure is that the wrong time? It came at the perfect time where they were like, okay, let's go back and reassess what we've been doing since.
No. I think after that come from behind win, the players will be eager to hit the pitch again. Like, they feel like, yes, we finally gotten ourselves back. So I think it would have been in their best interest to play, like, even midweek the following week.
Yeah, but and you know what's interesting? There's this thing you normally say. So when teams meet themselves, when you say relegation six-pointer. So what are we going to call this Barca Atletico Real Madrid? Because anyone that wins
top
the game...
Top four six-pointer.
Of course. Because if Barcelona were to win this game, Barcelona in the top four straight away. So it'd be interesting to see how they come about this. So before we move on, remember I told you there's something I would like to tell you when we start recording. Do you remember?
Yeah.
So I'm going to shock you. So do you know what if I told you that Barcelona Jose Jimenez, their defender? Will you believe me?
What? When?
Barcelona was strongly linked with Matheus De Ligt. I'm sure you remember that. We were on about Matheus De Ligt. So we almost signed Matheus De Ligt. The only issue was his agent fee and some of the salaries that Raúl was demanding. So Barcelona don't want to meet his agent fee, which was 20 million. So what Barcelona now did, Barcelona went now 50 million euros.
For Jose Maria Jimenez. But like,
yes,
but like
50 million now, euros.
I let it owe them or what?
No, this thing is coming out now because I don't know if you saw 3 days ago, Laporta came out and said some of the things that they investigated from the forensic and from what they are able to assess from the previous board. So this is one of the shady deals that happened. So now the 50 million euros, no one knows where it is now, whether it's with Atleti, because at the end of the day, Jimenez's full price was 80 million as well. So Barca paid 50 million for him, but they didn't complete the food. They didn't complete
but
the
money. They were asking for 80 million because I know his release clause is over 100 million. So they were willing to sell for 80.
Yeah. They were willing to sell him for 80 million back in 2019. But Barca were just able to pay 15 there. Barca paid 120 for Griezmann. Then they now paid 15. And they were like, okay, we're coming for Jimenez. So yes, 50 million. Just hold it. We're coming. Do you understand? So now,
wait, just 50 million. Just okay. I think Atletico Madrid will have to. If this is true, Atletico Madrid will have to. I mean, I'm stunned. They will have to really explain to the Spanish.
I'm stunned. I don't even understand what I read when I saw it. For those that are in Nigeria, this is too fast story in my eyes.
You mentioned Griezmann wants 80 million, and you just reminded me of, oh, Griezmann was actually in Barcelona. And then all Barcelona's three very expensive signings, Griezmann, Coutinho, Dembele, who has been the worst, or who was the worst signing among these three? Because I think it's fair to say none of them...
I'll say Coutinho.
Was the worst?
Yeah. Because I'll say this, Coutinho was the worst in the sense that he's the club's record signing, the highest, 160 million plus. He didn't play a lot of games. He now went to Bayern. He won a lot. He still trashed Barcelona in Bayern.
Like, now two, came... I scored two goals. Beautiful things.
He won the Champions League. He now came back. He stunk up the place. He was one of our highest earners. So, like, it was just all over the place. I think Coutinho was the worst.
Over there has missed close to 70 games with injury.
Yeah, but you could say, like, when Dembele plays, that's a threat, even if it's not like a goal scoring threat. He still dribbles, creates spaces for others and all the other stuff. But Coutinho doesn't do anything for Barcelona, so it's just it wasn't meant to be.
Fair enough. I mean, I think fair enough. I just want to get your perspective since like it's your club, Barcelona. But for me, I feel like the reputation Griezmann came for, like, it was just like this guy was going to come and do everything. So I think Griezmann was actually the best, but at the same time, the most disappointed. I don't know his words, but I think he was the best.
Yeah, yeah, I understand why you feel like that. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
It was actually the best and still yet the most disappointing one. So enough of those two clubs. Now let's talk about Real Madrid, table toppers, but crashing out of the Copa del Rey against Bilbao, late goal considered. And then when we now join this with the fact that they drop points to Eibar before the international break, is this cause for concern for Ancelotti? Like, it's becoming a blip.
Like a few weeks ago when you asked me about them dropping points earlier on in the month of January, like we said, maybe it was hangover from the holiday, but now it's looking like something that Ancelotti needs to start working on. Because now we see that there's no level of consistency now within the team, and that was not the case.
And no Benzema, like, it really shows now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, like Benzema has been carrying them, and now Benzema is out of it. It's now very, very glaring that they miss one of their best players. So it's very glaring now.
But just a word, because I know before you come for my boy Vinicius, it's not his fault. He came very late for international duty. He was tired, jet lag. So he did his best on the pitch. He did his best, but his teammates let him down. That's all I'll say.
No, like, we can come here and start giving excuse for everybody. So
no, it's not an excuse, it's a fact. You cannot come back and then expect to play a game like a day later. It doesn't, football should not work like that.
No, it's a fact, of course. Sorry.
But what do you see Madrid doing this weekend against? I mean, surely they come back to winning ways against Granada, surely.
Yeah. I feel like they can win against Granada. Like, that should be...
Win or they will win. I mean, they have to win.
Let me be real with you. They have to win because they are Real Madrid. But the thing is, at the end of the day, you need to understand that they are not Real Madrid themselves. They are not in a very, very good form. So... like, it can go either way. I'm not saying Granada, they are now a very good team that will come and start. But I won't be surprised if they drop points. Let me just be like, I won't be surprised if they drop points against Granada. I won't be surprised.
I would actually be very, very shocked if that happens. But then again,
I have an interesting start for you. Do you know that Real Madrid has only won the Copa del Rey 2 years, just twice in last 2 decades.
Stop it, guys! Stop it.
So I remember
Gareth Bale 2020. What was that against Barcelona in the final? That amazing goal. So that was just
okay. I'll give it the 2 years. They won it in 2011 and 2014.
Yeah, that was it. I think it was 14. I'm not sure if it was
2014 and 2011. That is all.
Wow. I mean, they will tell you that they only care about the big boy trophies, the trophy with the big ears, the Champions League, and the league title. That's a meme where he said, if Madrid fans tell you they don't care about the Copa del Rey, show them this, where they were doing an open bus parade showcasing the Copa del Rey trophy some years ago.
Yeah. I remember that. They won against Barcelona, so I understand why they did it. I remember that. I think that is 2011, yeah.
Okay. I think every classical win should be celebrated. So now, over to Italy, and for me, it's all about the Milan derby this weekend. And I think it's a very big one for the Son of God. Do you know the Son of God that is going to be playing this game?
Of course. It doesn't mean mediocre players, guys. Let's hear it.
No, it's not. The Son of God is Olivier Giroud, because he said that he asked God, like he said he asked God if he should join AC Milan. This was back in 2019. But God told him to stay in Chelsea. And then he stayed in Chelsea and he won the Champions League. And he asked God, and God said, go to... Wait, sorry. No. He asked God if he should go to Inter. Then God said, no.
You see, I'm not even consistent with your own story. You see?
No, I just switched AC and Inter for a second. So he wanted to go to Inter. God said, stay. And then now God said, yes, you can go to AC Milan. So he's the son of God. And probably God has told him that he will win the Serie A with Milan.
That means like they just scamming him, like the God.
No, but no.
Because
but,
I'll tell you
God, but the God that he spoke to, the God that he spoke to told him to stay where he will win the Champions League eventually.
Okay, but I'll tell you something. Hope God didn't tell him that they will win this weekend because Inter is definitely winning that match.
Are you sure? I'm not as definite as you. I think Inter are slight favorites, but I'm not going to say they will win this weekend.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it today. I'm coming out with my full chest, so they will win.
Okay.
I expect Inter to win.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen,
I'll be surprised. If Inter don't win, I'll be surprised.
Ladies and gentlemen, Leonard is calling you a fool for not putting Inter straight win in your bet. So
that's not what I said. Misleading the audience again.
That's what did you say?
I said I'm confident that Inter will win.
That's exactly what
wait,
I said.
Is my word stone? Is my word the gospel? My word is not gospel.
That's exactly what I said now.
No. See, you're twisting what I said. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to lose money, then I'll just predict for you. But that's what I'll just say.
Okay, so I find it hard to predict against my boy Theo Hernandez. And then I think if Inter win and Theo scores, I'm fine. So because I'm not a Milan fan, I'm just a Theo fan. But in all seriousness, I think I don't see Milan winning this game. I think a draw or an Inter win.
Exactly, because in the last five, AC Milan has just won the last five derbies in all competition. So I feel like this is written for Inter. So if Inter don't win, then I'll be shocked. Even the bookies, are giving Inter the upper hand. So I feel like Inter, they have the upper hand. Like Inter, they need this win definitely because they need to pull clear from the closest
impact,
person.
Yeah.
That's Napoli and even AC Milan themselves.
But I mean, there's another player that is actually becoming my boy right now in Inter, and his name is Bastoni. I only like pick the best of the best. You get? I don't support Joker players. Like that's why I don't really have any. I have only one boy in Barcelona. That's Pedri. The rest, I'm like, whatever. So
of course.
AC Milan, I have Theo. In Bayer Leverkusen, I have Florian Wirtz. In Inter now, I have Bastoni. So, like, just go to every club and look at the best player or one of the best players, and you just like, yeah, this guy is good. So, for people who don't know, Bastoni is 22 years old, and he's just imagine like if left-footed Van Dijk. That's how elegant he is. So I think in the next 2 years there will be big clubs bidding for him. Like I can imagine I wanted to say Bayern, but Bayern don't really go like in bidding wars. They don't like to spend too much money. So I can imagine Real Madrid, Man City, Chelsea fighting for him in the next 2 years.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, please write it down. On the 4th of February, George said Bastoni is on his way to be the next Van Dijk. Okay.
And then, if you want to write something else down, Antony in Ajax is the next Brazilian superstar. Write it down.
Of course. You're not the... It's like you're the god that...
You know when you have an eye for talent, like, should you actually be a scout? Do you get? There's no way for me to prove this, but... I remember when Marco Reus was in Borussia Mönchengladbach and I watched a game, and then I was so impressed that I now went to watch other highlights. Like, I went to watch highlights. Like, I watched just one match live, then went to watch highlights. I was like, this guy is destined for great things. And then, since then, Marquez blew up, only that he decided not to leave Dortmund. But he was actually good enough to play for any top club in the world. But now he's past his best. So, and then I remember I saw Griezmann at Real Sociedad as well. So I have an eye for talent. So
ladies and gentlemen, Josh Shaw McElroy is just one player and he thinks he's a scout now. Okay, cool. Let's move
and on. Antoine Griezmann, I saw him as well.
Okay, of course. And you had that.
But no, Griezmann at Atletico was magnificent. So come on.
All right. Yeah,
but then I'm actually not a good scout for coaches because I thought AVB was going to be a great coach. But then when he went to Chelsea, it was anything but great. So maybe I'm a good player scout, but not coach scout.
Of course. You're look at somebody coming onto his own platform to hype himself. Congratulations.
But then I'm looking at Ten Hag and there's no way Ten Hag will fail. Like there's no way.
Unless he goes to Mario, he will fail.
I don't even think he can fail at Mario. I think Mario are finally learning their lessons and they are doing away with all those rubbish of club DNA. We must hire, we must do this, we must do
they
that.
They learned their lesson.
So I think what they did was there's something called opportunity cost that we learned in economics in secondary school, where I think they are targeting Declan Rice this summer. So they're like, if we get Denis Zakaria, there won't be space for Rice in the summer. And they'd rather have Rice in the summer. So I think it's just a case of, let's just leave this one and go for who they feel is the better player. I'm not necessarily saying Rice is better, but they feel Rice is better. So I think fair play to them for leaving Zakaria and waiting for Rice.
Oh, no problem. It'd be interesting to see how Rice copes at Man U. Because we've seen it.
But then, I think there'll be a bidding war. We're hearing City and Chelsea are interested as well. But that's still the summer. I don't know who will win the battle. I think there should be much of a battle for 100 million because, trust me, he's not worth 100 million.
Exactly. I just feel like if he's not playing in the right system, he will fail. Just like Maguire is failing right now.
I don't even think we'll blame system for Maguire because, I mean, what a back four is a back four. There's really nothing much. Like, it's not as complex as midfield, I don't think.
Yeah. Maguire's own is just, he's just failing. That's just it. There's no system, no excuse.
Exactly. You wanted to give him an excuse. Okay, so now, let's talk about this Liga. And one of my boys, my aforementioned boys, Florian Wirtz, his club, Bayer Leverkusen, is taking on Dortmund at the Signal Iduna Park this weekend. Dortmund are trying to convince us that they are in the title race, so they have to win this game.
Yes, they have to, because closing the gap will be for nothing. Because they closed the gap so well. Like, they are very, very close to Bayern. I think they are 6 points away now. So, so they are very, very close. They need to try and win that game. And I feel like this is games where Haaland should be stepping up as their main man and getting those 3 points.
But that would have been if he was fit. But Haaland is injured till the end of February. So,
wow.
Unfortunately for Dortmund fans. I don't know why you were whining Dortmund fans like that. Like, he's...
Wow.
So
now they have to thank someone.
I mean, Malen, maybe. Marcos, maybe.
Yeah, but, I think McElroy, but Malen hasn't shown any promise this season. Like, he has not impressed me that much this season.
Yes, but I would say that since the coach finally, remember I was complaining about his 4-2-2-2, like Rangnick, where he was playing. No, his own wasn't 4-2-2, his own was 4-1-2-1-2, where he was playing a diamond. And I was like, why? I don't know if you can remember. So he has switched to a 4-3-3 in recent games. And now we're seeing Malen play better. So maybe he has turned the corner with the change of system.
Be interesting. We'll see. Like, all these things. It's just that at the end of the day, like, the games might clash with some of the other games. So it'd be interesting to see how the match unfolds.
And face Leipzig. If you don't know who the lead leaguers are, league leaders are in Germany, then I don't know where you've been. They've been the league leaders virtually for the last decade. And I mean, I won't say it should be a stroll in the park, but I mean, Leipzig are not the Leipzig of last season. Bayern should win this quite comfortably.
I was thinking the league leaders are Union Berlin. Well,
Bundesliga is a farmer's league. I'm like, are you guys kidding me? In the last 10
I don't
years,
even think any that I don't even think there's any league such thing as farmer's league. Like the level of competition, like I would just say,
because Messi is flopping in France now. French league is no more a farmer's.
No. Messi is flopping in France.
Okay.
No. Let's not combine two things. Messi is flopping in France. Cool. That is his own problem. But at the end of the day, like, there's no league like Farmers League. Like, even the Nigerian league is difficult in his own right. So, like, that's like...
It's difficult for people like you that don't really have football talent. Because any proper player should not find Nigerian league difficult.
Of course. When they tackle you, And you have a knock that will not allow you to play well for three games. You now know how difficult it can be. No problem.
Okay, so like we touched on, there's one Premier League game this weekend. And it's a relegation. Burnley versus Watford. Burnley, new striker, Weghorst. Watford, new coach, Roy Hodgson. Who gives this team the instant impact?
This one is hard. For me, I'll just say this. I'll just summarize it in one quick way. Two of them are too bad. Like, they are too bad that I can't even call it. Like, they are so bad. But, it's just a but. Manager bounce, good attacking, Emmanuel Dennis, and...
Dennis is suspended, remember. Remember our FPL page?
Jesus, that's true.
Yeah, this is the next game. This is the game is missing.
Yes, that's true. Apologies. Man, he's still suspended, so my FPL is gone again.
Just to cut it short. You know what's annoying is that why couldn't they just call this the first game of like a double game week for Burnley? So you say like this game and for Watford, this game and next week rather than 2 weeks ago and tomorrow. Like, how is that a double game week?
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I was even thinking they cancelled it because I was like, when are they playing? So I was even thinking they've cancelled it. So it's actually crazy. But what I'll just say to conclude is that I'm just banking on the Watford attack. But Burnley, they are playing at Turf Moor, so they are home. So, it'd be interesting because both of them are in similar form, lose in their last 5 games. I think maybe some draws in some places. But like, I just say like, at the end of the day, I think they are very, very, very similar. But Burnley needs to win this for their own sake because they are dead and buried in 20th. Because if they don't win this, it will be an upward struggle because Watford, they are in and around it, so they need to drag Watford into it even further.
I think I agree with you. This is very, very difficult to call. But I don't know. There's something about the striker is a proper number nine. He's 6'6", and we know how Burnley like to play long balls into the box. I think he's perfect for them. He averaged one goal every 2 games in the Bundesliga for Wolfsburg, 59 goals in 118, that's exactly 1 in 2. And prior to that, he had 31 goals in, I think, 60 or so games in the Eredivisie. So I would say if Maxwell Cornet plays as well, because we know Ivory Coast are a long time ago, out of the AFCON. So if I can imagine Maxwell Cornet combining well with him and Watford don't keep clean sheets, so I think Burnley might just nick this one.
Okay. I can see why. Like, I can see why, because Burnley, they are very
good. But that's if like he settles. I don't know, I'm giving myself an excuse here. That's if he can click with his new teammates and if Maxwell Cornet plays.
I understand you, but so many ifs. Once again, Josh hiding behind the ifs. Okay, all right, let's move on.
I mean, just so the listeners understand why I'm going with Burnley, Watford have not kept a single clean sheet this season. Like, not even one. Like, one clean sheet they've not kept. But maybe the new coach can change that. Who knows? I think if they can work on their defense, like we were talking on Emmanuel Dennis, João Pedro, Josh King, that was a decent attack, if you ask me. Their problem has been the defense.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And now, last but not least, let's preview the AFCON final. I don't know, Liverpool fans would be very, very torn. They don't know who to support, Mane or Salah. Maybe they will go for Salah because he's the one in better form and giving them more joy. But with our neutrals, how do you see this one going?
I want Senegal to win, like I said.
Oh, we're not even neutrals. Oh, you want Senegal to win. That's interesting.
Yeah. Now, I'd like to see, like, it's a beautiful story. They got to the, they've, like, under this, their manager, who was one of their legends, Cisse, and he has carried them to got them to the World Cup. They had some decent run-ins. They went to the, they finished in the quarterfinals in the AFCON in previous hosting there. They finished in the final.
Exactly.
So now they are in the final again. So it would be a beautiful story if you can cap it off with the trophy. So, looking at the form Mane has shown, like, to be a very, very good showing. Like, I feel like Senegal, Nigeria, Cameroon, like, I feel I'm still on it that Nigeria played the best football, but, like, they're the ones that have excited me throughout this run of AFCON. Like,
obviously, they should use their best football to collect a medal. Come off it.
Man. Obviously, they're out, but the truth is Egypt, they've not played well. They've just been defending. It came down to luck twice for them in the penalties. Like, honestly, the last one wasn't even luck because the Cameroon penalty was...
I mean, God, it was dreadful.
I don't know if the practice penalty takes in Africa.
I doubt it. No, I wouldn't say in Africa because we've seen Egypt play well with penalties, but Cameroon, no, I don't know.
I'll just sum it up with Senegal, Mane and his boys, bring it home to Black Africa.
I don't know your issue with this Black Africa and White Africa routine, but for me, I'm actually rooting for Senegal as well because they've never won it. That's one. And two, they lost the last final. Like, for me, it would be too painful. I cannot imagine supporting a club that loses two Champions League finals in a row. Do you know how painful that would be? So, just for that reason, I want Senegal to win just for that reason. Although I love Mo Salah, everyone who's listening to this podcast knows I love Mo Salah, but I'm rooting for Senegal and I actually expect Senegal to win without me rooting for them. So I'm going 2-1 Senegal.
When you said you don't know how to support a team that lose in finals, I was just looking at my mirror and saying to myself, man, I'm a Barcelona fan who bought so many Champions League semi-finals. So I was like, right, okay.
But to be fair, those are actually not finals because Barcelona have been winning most finals they get in.
Yeah, they've been winning most they get in, but like the semi-finals where they were sure nailed on to qualify, like they just had to bottle it. So it's still bottle at the end of the day. Well, I feel like it will be tight, but the way I see it is this. If Senegal don't take their chances, just like Cameroon did the other day, I feel like Egypt will pull off their haram football and still win.
Haram football. I'd like to remind you that Diego Simeone is not their coach. So, thank you.
But they are copying the tactics. They copy and paste. So, it's similar.
And then they will actually be without their coach, Carlos Queiroz, and their assistant as well, both getting sent off in the semi-final. So, that should be interesting.
Yeah, it will be.
And then there was a joke that the assistant coach just tried to tell the whole world that CAF should move the final a day, like they should push it back a day because they are tired. Like, guy, who sent you to enter extra time? Why can't you win in 90 minutes?
That was their plan. to get penalties. That's their plan from the first whistle. So I don't know why he's complaining.
No, I'm not sure I will agree with that, simply because we saw him make changes very early. I think he even made a change at halftime, bringing on Trezeguet. And then in the second half, you could see he was the active coach on the touchline, making changes. So I can say from that, he was trying to actually win the game.
Where did Trezeguet play when he came on? Was he not defending? Deep. Very, very deep. He was defending very, very deep. So, like, you can make all those changes, but at the end of the day, like, it's what we see on the pitch that matters. Like, it's just the tactics. Like, Egypt, they did this thing twice. They know that their opponent is clearly better than them, so they just had to defend and make sure that it boils down to luck, and luck were on their side, so...
You know, there's a difference between wanting to defend and then just being pushed back by your opponent.
Were wanting to defend. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. Like, there were times where they will have counter-attack. They will have counter-attack. When they see, like, they're committing too much and the gamble might not pay off, Elneny will pass it to the side, will give, like, they'll pass it. Yes, okay, yes, these people are yet.
But to be fair, Salah actually misplaced a few passes, more than a few. If he had made the correct passes, there would have been more counter-attacking opportunities. But I still agree with you that they were actually there to defend more than attack. That's the end of this episode. And of course, by the next episode, Premier League football will be back, and then we will know the champions of Africa. We wish both countries good luck. Although, can I say I'm wishing both countries luck when I'm actually supporting Senegal?
You're disguising. Stop pretending.
Just to sound classy, I wish both teams best of luck. Yeah, because that's how I do. I'm actually classy.
Of course, me, that is not classy. I wish Senegal best of luck. Yeah, I'm not classy. That is the logic now. So let's do it like that.
Okay, so thanks for listening. I will see you next Tuesday.